Good morning. It's an honor and privilege for me to be up here in this great church, and as the visitors might guess, I'm not the normal pastor week after week, but it's great to be up here, and I just want to give a special thanks for the music this morning. The choir was beautiful, and the youth, I knew y'all be good, but I didn't know you'd be that good. That was great. It's great to be here this morning. When I was preparing to talk this morning, and I knew the Lord was leading me to talk about knowing Jesus, I don't think it at the time I knew what an awesome task it was going to be to try to talk about knowing Jesus in one 20-minute session. Because in a sense, there is a sense in which every sermon should talk about knowing Jesus in some way or another. And I got into it and realized that if this won't offend anybody, then I'm going to be just basic with it. And not childish, not like I would do children's church, but basic. And I think that's all right, because as I got into the study of it, I realized that in a lot of ways we've missed what it means to know Jesus. I have, and it was good for me, so I think it's all right if I'm basic. This last year I went to Haiti on a mission trip, and I went down there not knowing what I was going to say to them. It's most considerate the poorest country in the world, and if not the poorest, it's certainly one of the poorest. And I went down there trying to say, what message am I going to bring to them, or what are they going to bring to me? And I remember going into a small church. It was dirty. The seats were hard, and it smelled, and it was hot. And we were all sweating, and we went in and sat down, and the singing began, and only half the people were there, and they just kept rolling in. And about 90% of the congregation was children under the age of 18. The state religion is voodoo down there, and so many of the children are turning to Christianity. And I sat down, and after a while, a little fella came, and he sat next to me, and he looked at me after a while, and he said, Creole? That's the language they speak. It's sort of a French dialect. And I said, no, English. And he said, oh. And so we sat there a little bit longer and sang. And after a while, I looked at him, and I said, Nom, which means name in Creole. And he said, Peter. And he asked the same question to me, and I said, Jim. And we sat there, and there just wasn't much going on. We were trying to be friends with each other, but there wasn't much. And he looked at me, and he pointed to me, and he pointed to his heart, and he said, I know Jesus. You? And I said, I know Jesus. And it was like a whole barrier was broken down, and here was this fella down in Haiti, poor, totally different social background than what I have, from a totally different country, a totally different language, and we worshiped together the rest of the time and laughed and had a great time together because that barrier was broken down. And it wasn't until later that I realized it was more than just that we had something in common, but it was that we both knew the same Spirit of the living God, and that bond brought us together in that fellowship. And I realized later that that's the central message of the Christian life. That's what it's about. It's about knowing Jesus. It's not about knowing about Jesus. You know, we know a lot about Jesus. But it's really about knowing Jesus. And it's not a religion, but it's a relationship with a living God. And we talk about the religion of Christianity, but it's not really meant to be that. It's meant to be the relationship with God. And Francis McNutt, who's a speaker, he speaks in healing conferences. He's a former Catholic priest and travels around. And he said it this way about knowing Jesus. He said, the problem is that most of us are trying to live the Christian life under the old covenant, under Old Testament kind of law. And that's the problem. We don't really know Jesus. And St. Augustine said the same thing in the 4th century A.D. He said, we're trying to live Old Testament in New Testament times, and we've got to begin to live in New Testament times in victory, in knowing God personally. Now, let me explain what he means by that. In the Old Testament, you have Adam and Eve, however you understand that. Have Adam and Eve, and they know God. And they're walking with God, and it says God walks with them in the garden. And they know him, and it's intimate. And after the fall, they sin begins to separate their relationship with God. And the rest of the Old Testament is aimed at trying to tell them there's only one God. There's only one God. That's what the rest of the Old Testament's all about. It's trying to say, there's one God, serve me. Children of Israel, there's one God, serve me. But it's not really about knowing God. See, only a few special people could know God. Moses was one of them. You remember Moses went up on Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, and he would go up there and he would visit with God and he was close to God. But where were the people? They were all down below the mountain. They couldn't go up on the mountain. They were down in the wilderness, kind of wandering around, waiting for Moses to come back down and tell them what was going on. And they would look up, and they sort of knew God because they saw lightning and thunder up there, but it was a fear of God. They couldn't even touch the mountain. If they were to touch the mountain that Moses was on, that God was on, they were to be killed, stoned, or run through with an arrow. And God was very distant to them, and they knew there was one God, but he was distant. And they tell me that now in Africa, it's kind of the same situation with the primitive religion, that most of them believe in one God. That they believe in this one high God, but he's distant. See? And they have a lot of little gods, and they're demons. And they're the ones you got to worry about because they're involved in your everyday life, and you have to put jujus up in the windows. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? And you have to put up little symbols to try to keep these witch doctors away. Because see, the witch doctors are conjuring up these little demons. But God is good, but he's distant. He's high. And I think in a sense that that's sort of, without being as primitive as that, I fear that that's in a lot of ways what's happened to us in America. That God is distant and he's high, and only a few special people can know him. We talked about Moses, another one of the prophets in the Old Covenant. They knew God. See? But nobody else could know God. And even they didn't know God that well, because every once in a while there'd be long periods of silence. So nobody really knew God that well. And especially the average people didn't know. And if you remember your Old Testament history, the Jews couldn't even speak the name of God. They couldn't say his name. They would use all kind of things like he's like the Redeemer or the Provider. But they couldn't say his name because they were afraid to say his name, because if they said his name, then they might get zapped. And Jesus came along and he changed all that. He changed that. The disciples came to him and they said, Jesus, you know, John the Baptist is over there and he's teaching his disciples how to pray. Come on, we want to be like them. Teach us how to pray. Show us how to pray. And Jesus says, okay, you want to pray? And they said, yeah. He said, pray like this. Father. Father. And Jesus spoke Aramaic and he probably used the word Abba. Paul uses it later. And Abba is not correctly translated Father in the English language. It's translated Daddy. And so here they are, they can't even speak the name of God, and they say, how to pray? You know, how do we pray? Show us how. And he says, Daddy. You say to him, Daddy. And it's an intimate kind of relationship that Jesus came to make it, not a distant thing, not a factual knowledge about Jesus living 2,000 years ago, but it's an intimacy that God wants to have with each one of us. And Jeremiah comes, he was one of those people who knew God in sort of a special way, and he comes along, and in the midst of all of the book of Jeremiah, it's the judgment on the people of Israel. They're about to go into Babylon, and he's preaching judgment to them. They're totally evil. They're worshiping all kind of other gods. And right in the middle of it, in the 30th chapter to the 33rd chapter, he talks about the new covenant. He talks about there's a time coming. Now listen to the scripture, and I'm going to read it again. Listen to what Jeremiah says, and listen how radical this is. He says, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. That was back when Moses was there in the Ten Commandments. He says, it won't be like that. It's going to be new. That's going to be old. That's going to be out of the way. That's not going to be anymore. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. And that's good news, because the central issue in that is this, that no longer will God be distant, but God will be close. God will be by your side, and no longer will anybody have to teach you about this knowing about God, because you will know God, everyone. Because God will be there, present among you. And there'll be no need for somebody to say, know the Lord, because you will know the Lord. And it doesn't matter from the least to the greatest. It doesn't matter what your sinful situation has been in the past. You could be the greatest sinner in the world. I could. It makes no difference. You can know God from the least to the greatest. It matters not what your wealth situation is. It matters not what your intellectual situation is. And it's so fair. We can all know Him. We all have a chance, no matter where we are. And that's the good news. And the bad news is this. And I guess it's sort of bad news, not really. But that is, we've no more excuse for not knowing God. If somebody says, I've gone to church all my life. I was raised in Sunday school, reared in Sunday school. And I've been to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I know the Bible backwards and forwards. But I can't really say I know God. We've no excuse. Because the new covenant is that we know God in an intimate, personal way. And that's what it's talking about. And see, it's like this. It's like Moses would go up on the mountain, right? And he would be alone up on the mountain with God. And all the people were down below, and they were in the wilderness. And while Moses was gone, they would begin to worship other gods. And they would worship other gods down there. And Moses would come back, and he would see that they were worshiping other gods. And God would zap about 40,000 of them in the desert. So I guess there sort of wasn't much excuse then either. But he would come back down, and they would sort of have an excuse, more than we have. They would say, well, Moses, you were gone, you know? What could we do? You know, we were waiting for you to come back and tell us what was going on. You were gone all that time. What did you expect us to do? We were just wandering around. We didn't know God. We didn't know what to do. And so Moses would come back down and lead them back to God. But that's not the case anymore. And this scripture used to bother me a little bit because I would read it. And I would say, you mean now in this new covenant, there's no need for teaching anymore and there's no need for preaching anymore? Until I realized that's not what Jeremiah's saying. He's simply saying this. There is a certain kind of knowing God that I can't teach you, or that no one else can teach you, or me. There's a certain, in this new covenant, there's a certain type of knowing God that no one needs to teach you about. I can teach you steps, you know, four steps to come to that decision. But then it's up to you. It's between you and God whether you know God or not. And it's between me and God whether I know God or not. And it's not an intellectual assent to certain facts. See, that's where we've missed it. You know, it's not even believing in Jesus. There are a lot of people who believe in Jesus, that he lived 2,000 years ago, that he died for our sins and all those types of things, but they don't know God. And that's what Jeremiah is saying, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, do you know God like Daddy? Is he concerned in your everyday affairs, no matter what your situation is, no matter where you are, no matter how lonely you are, no matter how happy you are, no matter how good your situation is or bad, is he Dad? And that's what Jesus, and that's hard for us to handle. You know, because our pride gets in the way, and that's humbling to think of God in that way. I'd rather think of God as this, you know, and let's talk about theology. Let's talk about religion. Jesus says, let's talk about a relationship. And that's what knowing Jesus is about. If the law is written on our heart from within, it's some change from within that occurs. It's not something that comes from without. When it comes down to it, it's this. That God wants to be involved with me and with you everywhere you go. School, at work, at home, in every situation. And if I say to myself, I don't know that I really know God, then one of two things has occurred. Either I don't know Him, and I'm not really under the new covenant. You know, I say I've got a lot of intellectual facts about it. But either I don't know Him, or I do know Him. Maybe some point in my life I gave my life to Him, but I'm not living under new covenant Christianity. I'm living now more under a old covenant law, do this and do that, and don't do this and don't do that. Those things will come, like feeding the hungry and going to Haiti on mission trips and giving our hearts and telling other people about Christ. Those will come, but they must come second. After we know God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would as I feel your presence here this morning, as you are present with us, you're near. pray that you would touch each one of our hearts and open us up to say to you, Daddy, say, I want to know you. I know all about you, but I want to know you. I pray that you would, if there's anyone here right now that would say, I don't know if I've ever really given my heart to you in a submissive way, I pray, Lord, that you would open up their heart even now to come to you. And I pray if there's any one of us, like myself, that I had to seek my own heart that is saying, you know, I knew Jesus and I know him, but am I living new covenant where it's knowing Jesus is the most important thing and everything else is second, knowing God. And I pray you would convict our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to do something strange, and I hope it's not wrong, but I taught the open door class last week, and they said, I finished a little early, but they said, we'd like a chance to come up to the altar and pray sometimes, you know? Maybe you'd want to come up and do that. Maybe you wouldn't. That's okay. But I finished a little early to give everybody a chance to do that. If you want to just come up and just kneel at the altar and be with God, then come on up. And we've got time for everybody. Maybe Greg can play. He'll play something as we come down.